literally fill the library of books that have been written on the subject of leadership. There is Lincoln on leadership. I have the book Martin Luther King on leadership. There's the leadership style of Jesus. And believe it or not, there is a book entitled Attila the Hun on leadership. There's the Complete Idiot's Guide to Leadership. And when I was in the military, some were studying Machiavelli, the Prince. And then, to end all books on leadership, there's Winnie the Pooh on management. But the best one is Moses on leadership. I believe that Moses was one of the greatest leaders in all of the Bible. You see, after 400 years of his people being in slavery, God called Moses to lead around 2 million stiff-necked sinners through the wilderness on an 11-day journey that took 40 years. Help me, Jesus. He was some kind of leader. So you think that we have given you too much of an assignment at Fallbrook. Whenever you think you have too much, think about Moses. Moses on leadership. If it wasn't for the Bible, Hollywood would have to invent Moses. His story, as we read the scripture in Exodus, thank you, Jordana, for reading the scripture in Exodus chapter 2. His mother takes the child and put him in a little ark, floats him on the Nile among the bulrushes, the leaves, and Pharaoh's daughter hears the baby crying, and his sister stands by to see what happens. And the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on the little baby. And so the daughter comes up and says, "Do you want somebody to nurse the baby?" And she said, "Yes, sure." And so, guess what? They take the baby back to the mother, and the mother nurses the child and then gets paid for it. Hollywood couldn't invent such a story. Moses on leadership. The Moses story contains all the elements of a great epic. Poor baby adopted by a rich family. Had everything as he grew up in Egypt that a young child could want. Best schools, best chariots. And as he was growing up, he found out about his heritage. And he tried to reconnect with his people. And in trying to reconnect, he noticed how his people were being treated. You know the story. When he saw how his people was being treated, he committed murder on behalf of his people. So he had to leave his life of advantage. He went on a pilgrimage, a spiritual pilgrimage, to find himself for decades. And the irony of the story is that he comes back many years later to overthrow the very place where he was raised. Come on. What a story. Leading his people out of slavery. Takes them out of slavery. And when you read the life of Moses, for all intensive purposes, he was rejected by the people that he led out of slavery. When you really read the life of Moses closely, he was rejected by the people that he brought out of slavery. How in the world could he stand it? How could he lead? How could he lead a public that had such high expectations for him, caused him many times to doubt himself. He was often humiliated by the very people he brought out of slavery. He had fickle followers. And you talk about drama. There was nothing but drama, drama, drama with his people. They seemed to deal in tedious trivia. And if it was not for God, Moses would have been the loneliest person on earth. I want to know, how in the world did he lead? Moses on leadership. Well, one way that Moses was able to lead, Moses knew that he was called by God. Now, you may have thought that when the nominating committee met and selected you as a deacon or an elder or whatever position, you might have thought that it was just a nominating committee, but it wasn't. We prayed before we called you, and it was God calling you. Amen? So when you get tired and you don't feel like showing up for your assignment, who are you disappointing? The nominating committee or God? God. Moses was able to endure because he knew that God called him. And I had to examine it because that's tough. It was so important that Moses be connected with God, because God had to do something that every leader needs to see. Every leader needs a victory every now and then. And see, God was the only one that could provide the victory, because the people didn't have it. All they did was complain. So God provided victory. Let me share something with you about leaders. Let your leader win something. Amen? Let your leader win every now and then. Don't take away all of the victories. Oh, help me, Jesus. That's where God comes in. Because he allows the leader to see something miraculous. Amen? I tell you, every now and then at the church, you need to hear about a miracle. I'm serious. Somebody ought to stand up and give a testimony about a miracle in the church in which you reside. Amen? You need that. That's where God comes in. Moses was able to deal because he knew that he was called. You know something? I'm here because God called me here. And you are here because God called you here. Right here at Fallbrook. You could have been at any other church in the county, but you're here. God wanted us to rub shoulders together. Amen? For whatever reason, God wanted you and I to be here together, Fallbrook. I know folks still are amazed when they come in here and they're trying to pick out who the pastor is. Amen? I know they're still amazed, but you know, God did this. Amen? God did this. He wanted us to be here together. And we're going to be better for it, for being here together. It's no accident that Moses ended up where he ended up. For God planted Moses in Pharaoh's palace, taught him the customs of the Egyptians, the wisdom of the Egyptians. Moses knew the good and the bad. He knew the rottenness of the system. He knew what was good. God did that. God made Moses well-rounded so that he could lead his people. One thing that I like about Moses, after he accepted his call, and what did he get this, leaders? Moses recognized that there was a leadership bigger than him, and that was God. Amen? See, the leader has to know that It's bigger than just the leader. And in fact, you must elevate yourselves in a big way. You must, Fallbrook, we must set big goals. That's why we're having the U/strategic planning. So we can look 5 years down the line and come up with some big ideas. Amen? You have to have big ideas. The books that are written now on leadership and management, most of the leadership nowadays, all of them, those companies and organizations that are thriving, that are long-lasting, when you read books like Built to Last and Good to Great by Jim Collins, what you will find is that organizations that are really doing well over a long period of time set large individual goals that outlast leadership. That's why we're going 5 years. That's beyond where your present pastor might be. Somebody else will be in here. But you as a church need to keep those goals. Need to be large. You need to have a vision. Moses and leadership. What I liked about Moses as a leader. And this is hard sometimes. Moses recognized that he couldn't do it all himself. Thank you. I heard an amen out there. He could not do it all himself. He had to have somebody helping him. In fact, when you read, and we just rush over this, when you read the Bible, Exodus chapter 35, you see there was plenty of work to do in building the tabernacle. You don't need to, you can look there another time. You know of all the artisans and the craftsmen that it took to build the sanctuary? Exodus chapter 35. Exodus chapter 36, when they build the tabernacle. Just the curtains alone took a lot of work. 36. I told Danny I was going to show you guys. I want you to turn here. I know. Exodus chapter 36, 3 through 5. So you say, well, I can't do anything. I don't have any gifts. You want to see this. Exodus chapter 36, 3 through 5. And they received from Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had bought for the work of the service of making the sanctuary. This is chapter 36. So they continued bringing him freewill offerings every morning. Then all the craftsmen who were doing all the work of the sanctuary came, each from the work he was doing, and they spoke to Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commands us to do. They brought too much. Have you ever been in a church where they brought so much offering you said, stop it? Have you ever been in a church like, that's exactly what it said. They brought so much offering, they said, stop. I want to go to a church like that before I die. Amen. But I have to be one of the persons giving also in that church. They gave so much. Folks, we ought to be able to get this sound system. That's right. We ought to be able to get this sound system. Oh, I knew I wasn't going to get many amens, but it's the truth. They gave so much that they said, oh, stop. Don't send no more offering. Boy, help me, Jesus. And then in chapter 39, the work was completed. Oh, the Lord is good. He called Moses. Thank you. Moses looked at the calling and says, this is bigger than me. Let's set some big goals, long-term goals. He set up the tabernacle, and the response was so great that he said, stop, no more offering. You know why that happened? This was no accident that Moses ended up in Egypt. You see, he learned law. He was a prince. He knew how to handle responsibilities and authority. He understood problem solving. And so when God gave to him the Ten Commandments to give to the people, God knew what he was doing. He gave it to a legally trained mind. If he'd given it to someone else, they would have left the Ten Commandments up there. They would have forgot about them, but not Moses. He knew how important. So God knew what he was doing by having him in Egypt. He knew that he couldn't do it all himself. When I won't say where, I pastored someplace when I came out of seminary. And I used to go up there on Fridays at the church and mow the lawn. In fact, I would take my own lawnmower up to the church and mow the lawn. Because we didn't have people in the church that would do anything. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, I'm not too good to mow the lawn. But the pastor should have been studying on Friday instead of up at the church. And I didn't live close to the church. In fact, I lived probably as far away from the church as anybody in the church. I had to go to the church and mow the lawn on Friday. Help me, Jesus. Then I eventually enlisted my brother-in-law to help me. And we would go up there together and mow the lawn. I'm glad we're not here. I'm glad. Did you see all those men and women we had up here? I'm so thankful. Now, I don't mind mowing the lawn, but I don't have to worry about that here at Fallbrook. Amen? Amen. You see, because I pray that we never take the motto that says pay the pastor and then watch him do all the work. See, that was the motto that they had. I'm glad we don't have that here. I thought I'd get one amen. And then a good leader like Moses. Make sure that the leadership outlasts him and everybody else. I said in the first service, I still believe it's true. If there is a job in the church that only you can do and no one else, then we're failing in that area. Thank you. We're failing in that. There should be somebody being trained to do what it is you do. There shouldn't be one person who knows where they know something and no one else knows. If that's going on in this church, then, and I mentioned it to Pastor Mata, we need to work on that. That's a mistake. That's a church that's failing. We need, and that might be already in place, Benny, and I probably asked you this before, but we need people, somebody needs to be the treasurer one day other than Benny. And I hope you understand what I'm saying. Amen? Don't go anywhere, Benny. That's not what I was talking about. But somebody needs to be trained to do, it's very specialized work. We need our young person beside them knowing how to handle the books. And Joe deals the finances. Where's Joe at? I just saw Joe in the back. We need somebody to know how Joe puts the budget together. Amen? If we don't do that, we're failing as a church. I don't care how many people in here and how good you think it's going. Behind the scenes, it's failing. We don't have young people who can play the piano. We are really failing in this church. One day, you will be meeting to hire a pianist. You will. When you have pianists, and I don't know what age the ladies are, if you have pianists in their 50s and 60s, 40s, 50s and 60s, they are eventually not going to be playing the piano. We need young people tinkering around on the piano, playing hymns. Amen? Oh, help me. We need somebody that's a Sabbath school secretary to understand how to order the material. That the quarterly just don't show up here one day. It's ordered. Ordered on time. We need people knowing how to do that. We need our young people knowing how to do that. Amen? If we do not do that, we are failing as a church. If there are nooks and crannies around here that only one person knows, then we are failing. I told somebody, I've never been up here before. I know there's an up there, but I've never been up there. Some of you didn't know there was an up there, did you? But there's more than one needs to know. If you're serving a church that likes to hide information, you're in a failing church. This is not Fallbrook. Amen? We have open board meetings, whether we say it or not. You're welcome to come to the board meeting. You won't be a voting member, but you can come and add your feelings. You can see what we do financially. We don't have a closed church. Amen? And we don't want a closed church. Amen? See, one thing that you need to recognize, this is not Elder So-and-so's church, and this is not Pastor Jones's church. This is God's church. Amen? This is God's church. All of this belongs to God. Amen? That's what Moses knew. And then on leadership, this has always baffled me as I close. I'm not finished, but I'm closing. Moses seemed to be alienated from his people all through his ministry. When you read the book of Exodus closely, you'll find Exodus chapter 16, verse 3, Exodus chapter 17, verse 3, Exodus chapter 14, 11 through 12, verse 11 and 12, Numbers chapter 11, Numbers chapter 14 and verse 4. I'm saying that because if the broadcast go over, you can pick this up. You can look those texts up. All of those texts show the people complaining. They made statements like, we ought to go back to Egypt. I'd rather die back in Egypt to be here. And the final straw that should have broke the camel's back? They said, let us select two different leaders and then go back to Egypt. Can you believe that? Now, I don't know how did Moses not quit? You know why Moses didn't quit? Moses knew it was God that called him first. And this really helps me. Moses stayed on the side of the people. Moses did not abandon the people. He cast his lot with the people. No matter how rough they were. You know, you ever dealt in a family fight? And a family be fighting like